Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Hold Fast podcast. My name is Josh Collier, and I am your host. Today, I had a wonderful opportunity to sit down with Matt Basford. Matt is a preacher at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. I've known Matt for quite a number of years. He's been a preacher for about 16 years. He has preached in Texas, in Illinois, and now in Tennessee. He has a law degree from the University of Texas. He is a very prolific hymn writer as well. As a matter of fact, if your congregation uses the Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs hymnal, you'll probably recognize his name. Flip through some of those songs and you'll see him as the lyricist. He also has some songs that are published in the paperless hymnal. If your congregation has slides, they don't have songbooks, uses slides. A lot of his have been translated for that as well. Matt was very gracious to sit down with me and give me some time. We talked about something he is very passionate about right now, and then we talked about how important it is to sing to God, even when we're sad, even when we're going through some storms of life. Singing to God is a wonderful way that we can hold fast. I hope that you will enjoy this episode, and I'm pretty sure you're going to get something out of it. So here is Matt and I talking about these different things. I hope that you enjoy it. Matt, I'm really thankful that you are going to sit down with me today and talk about some things and different ways that we can hold fast when there's big storms going on around us. Thank you again for being here today.
Happy to help, brother.
I like to ask this question of different evangelists. I know that there are so many facets of being an evangelist. It's not just standing up on Sunday morning and giving the sermon, but what is a particular thing right now that you are really passionate about in your work as an evangelist?
Something that has really been a big part of my life for about the past 6 months is not just being involved in doing good in the community generally, but for about the past 6 months, I have been volunteering at the local hospital. And I've been acting as a volunteer chaplain there, which means that for one morning every week, I will go around and I'll receive a list from the chaplain at the hospital there. And I will pray with a dozen or so patients who are on my list and talk with them and try to comfort them as they're sick and in the hospital. And I've found that to be very meaningful and fulfilling and godly in a way in my life that I'd been missing.
And did you say that, like, it's really changed you to a degree, hasn't it?
That is definitely so. Because it's funny that you wouldn't think that if you're going into somebody's room and this is a total stranger, usually they're not a Christian, usually you've never seen them before, that you would think that the exchange with them would be very surface. And that's not necessarily true at all. Because sometimes people feel free to unburden themselves to somebody who is a total stranger who has come to help. And so I've had some conversations with people that I think for both of us touched us to the core of who we are. And I think it is also true that the mere act of being compassionate is something that is critical for God's people.
Yes.
And that I think that often can be a struggle for people who were, as I was, brought up among the non-institutional churches of Christ. Because coming up, I can remember a lot of study of verses like James 1:27.
Yeah.
Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world.
Right.
Lots of preaching on that.
Lots of preaching on that particular verse.
But the reason why it was preached on was to prove that caring for orphans and widows was not a work of the church.
Right.
That this is the passage that shows that really we shouldn't be sending money to orphans' homes and things like that. And I agree with that. I think that's true. I think this is a verse that emphasizes that caring for the poor, caring for the needy, looking for needs in the world and trying to fill those things, that's a work of the individual and not of the church, as the cliche goes.
Right.
But it is important to put as much emphasis on the first half of that as on the second half of that.
Absolutely.
That if I am going to say this is not something that the church should be doing, then this has to be something that I am doing as an individual. That it is my responsibility as a disciple of Christ to have some place in my life where I am doing good, not just for Christians, but for people out in the community.
And you've found something. Like not everybody can be a chaplain, though. Do you think sometimes it could be Christians can be overwhelmed because there's so many things that they could be doing as terms of there's a lot of needs out there?
That is definitely true. And there are a lot of really worthy works out there that would be good for any Christian to give their money and their time to. And part of it is, I think, just being honest with yourself. What is the best way for me to serve? What is it that best suits my gifts? And even what is it that I most want to do?
Right, right. You're not, do you think you need to have a certain passion for whatever you are deciding to dedicate yourself to?
I think that is definitely true. Like, for instance, I think part of the reason why being a volunteer chaplain really works for me is because I would describe myself these days as a people-loving introvert.
A people-loving introvert. Matt, that is a perfect description for you.
And so I wouldn't necessarily want to go into a room of people I don't know and go around and be the life of the party.
Right.
But meeting somebody, often they're the only person in the room. Maybe there's a family member there with them or something like that. And you can get to know somebody and connect with them on a smaller set, smaller scale. That's something that I really enjoy.
So you would say you're very passionate. You encourage people, find something that you're passionate about. There are many things to choose from, but you need to find something that is making an impact on the community around you.
Definitely. And say, what is the impact that I most want to have? What is it that really tugs at my heartstrings and says, and I look at that need and I say, somebody oughta. And then you can be the somebody.
If you see that need and say, somebody oughta, you need to see if you can be that need. That's great. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for that. Good thoughts. One of the other things that I know that you're very passionate about, I've known you for a long time, and I know that you're big into singing songs of praise to God. You are a hymn writer. You want to make sure that the singing is done in spirit and in truth, as good as it possibly can be done. I know that that's something that you're very passionate about. Do you think that there's something innate in humans that, like, music is cathartic for us?
Absolutely. I think that just experientially, those of us who are Christians and who sing together in the assembly all the time, that affects us in ways that maybe we even can't articulate. But there have actually been some scientific studies done about that. It is apparently literally true that when you have a group of people who are singing together, their heartbeats literally sync up.
Their heartbeats sync up?
Yeah, so when the Bible talks about being of one heart, that's not maybe as metaphorical as we might think.
Wow. Wow. So, and so God could have chosen a lot of different ways to get praise. And do you think, I don't know, do you think music was purposeful?
Absolutely. That I think we were created to be musical beings. I think we were created to be touched deeply by music. That sometimes there are feelings that are so profound that we struggle to articulate them. And somehow music expresses those feelings.
I think you're absolutely right. We can talk about, you know, secular music. I'm sure that there might be some song that you hear it and automatically you're somewhere else. It's taking you someplace in time. And a lot of times the emotions of that thing are connected to it as well. And there's probably there's probably some hymns that are that way as well. Well, you know, in this podcast, one of the things I like to try to do is give Christians different things that they can use whenever they're going through some kind of storm of life. And we talk about singing, we talk about singing praises to God, but my question is it appropriate to sing, maybe even praise songs of some kind, is it appropriate to do that when we're sad, when we're depressed, when we're going through something terrible? Is singing an appropriate thing to do then?
I think it definitely is. And, you know, our minds might naturally leap to, well, if I'm sad, then I should be singing a sad song. And I think that's great. And I have a lot to say about that, too. But even when it comes to praising God in the midst of a really terrible passage in our lives, that's something that is useful and meaningful as well. And here I can't help but think of what Job said in Job 1:21, when he has just received word that he has lost his fortune, all of his children are dead, he has nothing left. And what he says in verse 21 is, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That even there down at the bottom of the well, Job is somebody who is continuing to shower blessing upon God. And it is true that no matter where we are, God is still glorious and he is still faithful to us.
No matter where we are, God is still God and he is deserving of praise. And I love that. Job, that what other human being has suffered like Job has, and yet he was still able to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was still able to praise him. And do you think him saying that was helpful for Job personally?
I think it was.
I understand it's speculation on our part. I get that. But do you think it was helpful for him?
I think it was, because a lot of the time we have a tendency to read Job as the frame tale. We read like the first two chapters and the last chapter and say, that's the summary of the book of Job. And we don't read all of the exchanges between Job and his friends all the way through the book. And the interesting thing about reading what Job says all the way through the book is that to some extent it makes that there's a tension between that and what the scripture says about Job all the way through this never sinning with his lips, because he says some really confrontational things to God.
That's a great point. He does kind of, there's time where he kind of confronts God. He's like, "Give me an answer, God. Tell me why. Why is this happening to me?" He questions God, and yet he never sins with his lips.
Yes. And that is useful, first of all, because it shows us that we can be honest when we are talking to God. But secondly, I think it shows that you need to read all that stuff in connection with what Job says first. That all of his questioning, all of his even accusations, they are coming from a place where he fundamentally acknowledges the blessedness of God. And so it is important, likewise for us, that when we are suffering, that we must not let go of that fundamental realization either.
So where else in the Bible can we go to if we're talking about singing, all right? It's always great to have faith in God and praising him, and Job is a perfect example of that, but is there anywhere else in the Bible that we can point to as far as like singing to God at low points is appropriate?
That's an excellent question, and there's at least one answer to it that is actually difficult to see because the answer is so big.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
When we look at the book of Psalms, to us it is a book. It is a written document. But that's not originally what it was. What it originally was a collection of 150 inspired hymns for the Israelites to use in worship.
Right, I know that's kind of a thing with some preachers. They're like, please turn to Psalms 19 as opposed to the 19th Psalm. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, those aren't chapters, those are psalms.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, and I've been doing a lot of work with the Psalms recently because I'm involved in a project called Timeless that is an attempt to paraphrase all 150 psalms for congregational use in our time. Mm-hmm. And so I've been involved in writing and editing those. And something that struck me is most of the psalms that we sing are happy. You sing, "Hallelujah, praise Jehovah," Psalm 148. We sing, "The Lord's my shepherd," Psalm 23, and so on.
Right.
But that's not really representative of the content of the book.
Of the book of Psalms.
Of the book of Psalms. That most of those 150 inspired hymns are pretty dark in tone. That they're psalms of lamentation, and even more challenging for us, they're psalms of imprecation.
Is that the ones where he's like, "God, justify me from my enemies or save me from my enemies and bash them up.
Yes, especially the latter.
The bash them up parts.
God, my enemies are being horrible to me. Go destroy them. And these are the things that God wanted his people to sing. And so when you look at Psalms, what you see is a very emotionally broad repertoire that pretty much just about any human emotion is something that you will find expressed in Psalms. And in fact, there are even some Psalms that don't end on a high note, because a lot of the Psalms of lament, they'll say, but I still trust in you, God, and yeah, that's the conclusion. But if you look at some of the other Psalms, and I am 10 chapters ahead, I think. if you look at Psalm 88 is the one, written by a guy named Heman the Ezrahite.
Oh, that's
all the way through. It is negative from beginning to end. It is a psalm that almost expresses despair.
Mm.
And is saying, God, where are you? I don't have any hope left. You could be my only hope, but you're not helping me now. And even that is something that God wanted his people to sing in their worship of him.
It's almost as if this was helping them process these dark feelings and these dark emotions and to get to the other side. Sometimes I think we as humans, we just need to vent.
Absolutely. And I think that is something that we struggle with in our hymn repertoire. Because if you look at it, in terms of emotional contour, it doesn't look like the Psalms.
Right.
Most of what we sing is upbeat and happy. And even the hymns that we sing that are about difficult times in our lives, even they tend to have kind of a cheer up buttercup sound to them. You think of Sing and Be Happy.
Right, right.
And sometimes for us, that's emotionally the right answer. We will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, even when we're struggling. But the Psalms also leave room for responses that are much more subdued. And I think that's because we feel like we have to be evangelistic in our hymns,
mm-hmm,
and say, look, I'm a Christian. Everything's great with me. See all these happy songs that I'm singing.
Right, 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 right.
But I think that is a tendency to not come across as very genuine. Just like if we were to present ourselves to others as everything in my life is great because I'm a Christian and it's just blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven, when that's not actually an accurate representation of what a walk with Christ is like.
Yeah. Yeah, because this world is not supposed to be perfect for us.
It is not. And if we are dedicated to being disciples of Jesus, we are dedicated to following Jesus. Jesus' 3 years of ministry were not, in earthly terms, happy years.
That's a great point. Great point.
And so people like Joel Osteen, where they're talking about living your best life now, in a lot of ways, that's just a fundamental distortion of the gospel, because it's promising something that nobody in the New Testament is promising. That it is not so much that God will protect you from unhappiness, it is that God will get you through unhappiness. And I think that when we reckon with those things in our singing, then it helps.
That was great. Say that unhappiness part again.
That it is, God does not promise to protect us from unhappiness. He promises to get us through unhappiness.
That is awesome. That's a sermon right there in and of itself. Last thing I want to ask you before we have to wrap up. You said that our hymnal is kind of woefully missing maybe some psalms that talk about some of the things we've talked about. Are there any songs that you like to sing that you think is a good example of a hymn that's really nice to sing when you are feeling down or feeling low?
One that's been meaningful to me for decades is one probably that most brethren know. It's a hymn called Abide With Me.
Yeah.
And it's part of a genre that is often called hymns of consolation,
mm-hmm,
that you're going through a difficult time and hymns like these will soothe your soul and help you to continue. And the tune is wonderful. The words might be even better,
mm-hmm,
because they explore some of the most profound issues that we can face as human beings. The whole hymn is based on Jesus' encounter with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they invite Jesus in as the evening is falling. And
right.
So the hymn is putting us in the position of those two disciples. And from there, it uses this whole idea of sunset as a metaphor for the way that things change in our lives. And something that especially, I think, shows up in the second verse that talks about how all of the glories of earth, all of the joys of earth, those things, they grow dim. And so at times it feels like everything around us is just changing and decaying. It's just going downhill. And in times like that, when everything else seems to be changing for evil, this is a hymn that calls our attention to God because he does not change, because his goodness is eternal.
His goodness is eternal. Matt, I thank you so much for sitting down with me today. You've given us so many wonderful things to think about. Every day could be filled with some storms. Every day could have some tragedy that we have to work through. And you've given us another way to really think about when those times that I am low, one way that I can hold fast is to express my emotions in song. And there's some wonderful songs written that can do that for us, both from the Bible and from other people. And singing to God is singing to God is always a good thing to do.
Absolutely. It is something that has the power to be so meaningful, and it's so beautiful that God created his people to be a people of song.
Matt, thank you. I'm really glad that you came in today.
Thanks for the invitation, brother. I enjoyed it.
So that's it. Thanks for joining us today. I really hope that you can take away the two big lessons from today's podcast, Sitting Down with Matt. There's a lot of wonderful opportunities to go out and do something in your community. Find something that you are passionate about and do something. And the crazy thing is, if you're going through a storm, helping somebody else is a great way to help yourself. Focusing on someone else and the pain and whatever thing they happen to be going through is a way to make you hold fast through your own. And then, just like Matt said, singing to God during those low times, asking him to abide with me, that will help us to hold fast. I hope that you guys have a wonderful day. I hope that you continue to keep moving forward regardless of what life throws at you, because as long as you are holding fast to God, he is not gonna let go. You guys have a good day. I'll talk to you next time.